cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of March 2024. And tonight we have a whole lot to cover, so we might as well get right to it. And the title of the message tonight was So Many People, So Unaware, Don't Repent. Well, didn't repent and didn't care. Now, today, as we get deeper and deeper into the apostasy, and the vast majority of people in this world are absolutely clueless to what's happening. They know things aren't right, but because of biblical literacy, they don't really realize why things are the way they are. Now, the intent of a lot of sermons today across the country was to preach the message, keep it cool, and you do not, at any means, do not offend the offering plate, okay? Now, the intent of this sermon tonight is to, well, simply to tell the people what they need to hear. Not what so much what they want to hear. We're not here to tickle ears. We're here to be the watchman on the wall. And I wrote a little poem, and that poem kind of goes like this. So many people, so unaware, embraced a salvation that was never there. They believed a message that someone sent, assuring them that there was no need to repent. Soon the day cometh when their soul the Lord will require, only to find a place reserved in the burning lake of fire. As the world slides deeper and deeper into the great apostasy, more and more false teachers are teaching that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Joel Osteen told Larry King, for example, that he avoids preaching against sin because, well, it sends a negative message, and he just prefers to tell people that God loves them and God wants them to prosper. Well, tonight, let's see what God's Word, the Bible, let's see what from Noah to John the Baptist to Jesus and the apostles, what did they preach? I know the Word of Faith movement says there's that preaching against sin is not necessary for salvation. But let's see what God's Word, the Bible, says. We're starting tonight in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region, the shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus begins his ministry by preaching repentance, the first word. And here now, you know, in verses 15 and 16 is found Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, which provides the background, really. And when we're talking about that, for when we see the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, when it talks about the people which sat in darkness saw the great light, and to them which sat in the region, in the shadow of death, the light has sprung up. Well, Jesus was that light, and that prophecy was fulfilled there when Jesus began to preach. And so here, and by the way, in that passage of Isaiah chapter 9, it leads into the background of the prophecy of Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so here, they met there, the wonderful counselor, the minute the Lord Jesus stood up to preach. Well, I want to go over, and we're going to look at different modes, different types of repentance tonight. And we're going to go to repentance by assembly. And repentance by assembly over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. And here's what we read. "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceived that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For we were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed, well, after a godly sort, what carefulness is wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter." So what in the world is all that about? Well, you see here, Paul and Titus had instructed them to separation. In fact, here, earlier, as we're preaching, I want to just jump over to verse 14. "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, what the situation was here, that after that, Paul and Titus had instructed them to be separate, to come out, here some false teachers shows up. Now, these false teachers came, and in fact, if we jump ahead just over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for a minute, we read in verses 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them, which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great deal that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, here you had these false teachers show up. And these false teachers, they're teaching a whole different doctrine, especially when it comes to sin. And they're telling the people, look, you know, Paul, they're not giving you any leeway. I mean, everything with those people, and I hear this today from people, why is everything black and white? Where's the gray area, that area in there where we like to dwell, where we're not, we're not living strictly according to the Bible, but on the other hand, we're not being too bad, right? Well, that's not exactly what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. Yep, God does have absolute, and God is unchanging. So what happened was these false teachers came along, and a number of these people in the church of Corinth, they give in to them. And what they started doing is they started including some pagan beliefs and rituals within the church. And so Paul and Titus comes back, and God's word does not return void. And Paul came back with a stick, and he let them know in no uncertain terms that what they did was wrong, because they had discredited Paul and Titus. And so here, once Paul and Titus came back and Paul preached heaven sweet, hell hot to him and used his authority, they repented of what they did. And so you have a repentance of an entire assembly here. Now, there's another type of repentance, and we're going to find that in Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, this may be a familiar psalm to a lot of you. This is a psalm of David. And I'm going to have to wet my whistle here again. Okay, that's much better. In Psalm 51, we read, starting in verse 9 through 19. Now here, this is a psalm of David after he had taken Bathsheba to bed. And they had conceived a child. And here, David had Uri killed, had him murdered. And now he gets a visit from the prophet Nathan. And David is heartbroken. He is absolutely heartbroken for what he did, because not only does God's judgment come on him, but on Bathsheba. And remember now, Bathsheba was very well aware that when she went out and she bathed out there on her rooftop, that that she was doing that in full view of David the king. And a beautiful woman, and she was known to be a beautiful woman. One of the hardest thing in the world for a man to resist is a beautiful woman. And so here, we pick it up. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, upon thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, that I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and a whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. Well, here now, David was really beside himself. And he realized he'd been caught when Nathan, the prophet, came to him. and said, told him a story. He told him a story. He said, David, there was this very, very rich, very wealthy man who had large flocks of sheep. And when he had some visitors came to visit him, instead of taking one of his own sheep and dressing it for the meal, his neighbor, who only had one sheep, just one, he went and took his neighbor's and dressed that one. And David was totally indignant. He was beside himself. Who is this? He will not, something to the effect that he's not going to be, he won't make it till the sun goes down. David was furious about a man that would do such a thing. And then Nathan the prophet told him, you're that man. David, you're that man. You had all of these wives and Uriah had one wife. And you killed Uriah and you took his wife. And now David was repenting. I mean, he'd been caught. He knew it. God knew it. Now, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But God had plans for David yet to fulfill. And as Bathsheba conceived by David, God took that child home, took her home early. And so both David and Bathsheba were both heartbroken with a broken and contrite heart. And that was the repentance that they had. That really affected them very, very strongly, brought them to their knees in repentance. David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So the Lord said that David was a man after his own heart. And he knew David's heart. Now, here, we're going to take it a national or global type of repentance. Next, coming up. As we go over here now to Joel, In the book of Joel, chapter 3, here, verses 1 through 11. Now here, in God's Word, the Bible, you will often have several applications. And it had a minor application for the contemporary time, but a major application for the future. And we'll see this as we go through this. God has warned the Gentile nations not to touch Israel. Not to touch Israel, because he has referred to Israel, his heritage. Do not touch my Israel. Now, here, today, Israel, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, America is a very, very, very sinful nation. But if it's possible, folks, Israel's even worse than America. Just for her size, America's national sin is killing the children. In Israel, for their numbers, they even have a higher rate of abortion. Israel had the world's largest sodomite parade in Tel Aviv. That little bitty country did. And when it comes to pornography. And so Israel has always been a stiff-necked people. And today God's going to deal with Israel and God's going to deal with America both. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Is coming. See, America right now is under God's judgment. America is under God's judgment, but they're clueless. They're clueless. There's such a small percentage of us that realize that. We'll get into that as we go a little bit later here. And so here, as we see, we're going to get into the tribulation period here. And, of course, the purpose of the tribulation period. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down to the valley of Jehosh-Ephet, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people. See, a lot of this stuff is going on right now over in Gaza. And they have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own heads? Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. Now the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem you have sold into the Grecians that they might remove them from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah. Now, a lot of this stuff, these prophecies have been fulfilled. And they shall sell them off to the Sabaeans, to the people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Now we're going towards the future. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, here he's getting into again the future tribulation period. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen. gather yourselves together around, tither, because the mighty ones is to come down, O Lord. Now, the mighty ones are the raptured saints, the saints that have been raptured and given glorified bodies. And we see in Revelation chapter 19, those saints are leaving with the Lord, heading back towards earth. And so here, they've been since Revelation chapter 4, where you saw John was caught up, and John represented the church in the rapture. The church is no longer on earth until you get all the way through chapter 17, and when you start talking about all the way through the marriage supper of the bride of Christ. And then in Revelation 19, you see that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is returning back to earth with his armies, and that's who he's speaking here. The mighty ones are the armies that the Lord is returning with, coming back to the earth. And you see him arriving back on earth in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 15, or verses 1 through 5, I'm sorry. Now, I want to go now, and again, the message all through here is to the Gentile nations not to touch his heritage, not to touch my heritage, okay? And today, there are so many people calling for the elimination of Israel. And you have it, and I'm hearing a lot of pastors talking about, you know, the genocide Israel's committing. Israel needs to stop. Well, folks, look, here's what God's Word, the Bible, says. God says that he will judge his people. And he says, and he tells you not to touch his people, Israel. Not to touch. God says he will judge them. And he tells the Gentile nations to leave him alone. Well, he's used the Gentile nations in the past. He's used them to judge in Israel. And he's used Israel to judge the Gentile nations. And so here we see a repentance here, referring to a repentance of the remnant. It'll be the remnant that will come. And when you read that in Zechariah 13, verses 7 through 9, and that remnant is going to go through the fire, go through the tribulation period. 2/3 of Israel, which would be the seed of Abraham, will perish. But 1/3, the sons of Abraham, will survive through the tribulation. Now, I'd like to go over to a false and unreal repentance, a false repentance. And that we find if we go over to, I'm out of my water. I'm going to have to get another little bottle of water here. This is the third time I preached this message, as you folks all know, and so I'm a little parched. Okay. Now I want to go over to Exodus chapter 9. And in Exodus chapter 9, verses 27 through 35, and here, again, God is using Egypt to judge Israel, and he's using Israel to punish Egypt. Now, God has reserved, remember, Israel was in bondage for 400 years. He has reserved the judgment of Israel for himself. Throughout history, many Gentile nations have found out the hard way not to touch Israel. And Hamas is finding that out. Hamas is finding that out even as we're sitting here today. Now, the armies of the world will soon find out. And like we told you before, I fully expect Joe Biden to betray Israel, to turn on Israel. He's being pressured. And I said the very day that that war started, we told you that very day, that above the surface, out in the open, they would be supporting Israel, but underneath the table at the same time, they would be sending money to Hamas, and that's exactly what they did by sending it through Iran. It goes to support Hamas. And the pressure is growing up from the Communist Party here for America, for Biden to betray the nation of Israel. And we start here today in verse 27. Exodus 9, verse 27. Now here old Pharaoh makes a false repentance. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. And he said unto them, I have sinned. This time the Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hail, and I will let you go, and we shall stay no longer. Well, here, God had brought huge, huge amounts of hail. Well, let me just read. And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And regard not the word of the Lord left in his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb and of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree in the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And so here now, Pharaoh is watching his country is being destroyed. And so he says, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. But as far as thee and thy servants, I know that you will not fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. Well, actually, the word boiled here, it simply means it had budded. That the flax had budded. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands, and the Lord and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sent yet more, and hardened his heart and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Well, here you had, again, a false repentance. And by the way, repentance means, it's actually, that word is actually, is an old military term that means about face. It means to have a true sorrowfulness of your deeds, to be truly sorrowful, and to turn around and to undo the damage you've done. Many, many years, well, I've been in a pro-life movement for over 50 years. And for about 45 of those years, I preached on the streets on a regular basis in front of those bloody abortion mills. And during that time, I found out that some of the most ardent, strongest pro-lifers when it came to being missionaries for the preborn were women that had had abortions and were repenting, that they were repenting for their sin. God had brought them to repentance. And they were fortunate because those women that have killed their babies have a 6 to 7 times higher suicide rate than their contemporaries. And so now I want to go over to a baptism where there was no sin. This was a baptism where there was no sin to be forgiven, and there was no repentance required. Let's go over to that. And that's in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Prepare ye the way. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and of Jerusalem. And they were baptized of him in the river for Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle and of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass that in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, here now, the Lord Jesus had no sin to repent of before he could be baptized. And so, and John was a very, very popular fellow because people were coming from all of Judea and all of Jerusalem, and they went marched out into the desert to hear John preach. Now, when he says in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you. Now, that prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John had already had followers, and these men were going to be the future apostles, and they were the ways of being prepared. They were to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus here, and that's what he's saying, prepare you the way. Okay, now there's a one-of-a-kind of action. Now, here, we're going to take a look at another repentance. But it's not a repentance like any other. It's a different repentance. And, well, let's just go there. Because it has to do with God changing his mind about sin. Because it grieved God when man had changed his mind about sin. And so let's go to Genesis chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, we read verses 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Well, here again, folks, the apparent condition involved in the biblical record here of God is repenting, when the Bible also says God does not repent. So we'll see that here. So in just a minute, we're going to look at that. So here is resolved in the terms of man's viewpoint versus God's viewpoint to repent. Means to change the mind is what he's referring to, a change of the mind. God cannot repent since he cannot change his mind concerning evil. He seems to repent when man changes his mind concerning evil. God's attitude towards man really is conditioned by man's attitude towards God. It is because God does not repent that he must seem to repent when man changes his mind. Sounds a little tad bit confusing, but I'll tell you what. I think I know where we can go maybe to get a better view of this. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, oh, that cold water tastes good. I want to read you verses 10 and 11. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And so here now, again, repentance means a change of mind and in heart, and God doesn't change his mind. And so is God omniscient? Yes, he's omniscient. He knew how this was going to work out, and he knew that this had to be this way. He gave man an opportunity. He gave man the opportunity to repent and follow him and to be in obedience with him. But man's sin nature, well, changed all of that. Let's go over to chapter 15, let's just go over to verse 29. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Okay, so again, how many times have people alleged that this statement contradicts 1 Samuel 15:11 that we just read? Well, it repenteth me, and I have set up Saul to be king. Well, How can God both repent and not repent? The answer is that his repentance has to do with a change of mind, refers to his actions. His non-repentance to his character, that he seems to be outside the observers to change his mind, and his result in action precisely because, well, as all the righteousness of God, he does not change his mind regarding the character of sin and all of sin's consequences. And, well, you know, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. God's ways are so much higher than man's. I want to go now here and just talk about a couple of things. One, America is under God's judgment right now. But America, for the most part, is totally oblivious to that fact. America needs to repent of her failures to seek God's will. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. America will either repent or perish. America is blood guilty. America has killed, folks, over 165 million of its unborn children. Our sewers from coast to coast have run red with the blood of our babies. They've sacrificed the children, not to Moloch, and probably some probably have, but to the gods of their convenience and pleasure. Add to that the amount of elderly that were killed, that have been killed off, especially in these hospitals and nursing homes, due to the COVID. See, COVID was just one of God's many judgments upon the people. The Bible says that America has forgotten her God and is being turned into hell. Psalm 9:17 says, all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. Well, our children are dying from fentanyl and suicide. The Bible says that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, since you have forgotten my God, that you've forgotten my laws, I will forget you and your children. I will forget your children. Sodomy today in many of the public schools is now being taught in many of the public schools as a preferable lifestyle, as a preferable lifestyle. Romans 1, 26 through 32, it deals with that. America is being invaded, even as we sit here right now and as we're speaking, by hordes and hordes of insurgents. You've had drug dealers, child sex traffickers. Some of those weapons that they spent your good tax dollars on to send to Ukraine, and we told you from day one it would be different if it was a legitimate war there. But Ukraine is known as the world's money laundering market. Every corrupt politician here from the United States has made big money. People like Nancy Pelosi, people like John Kerry, Mitt Romney, everyone and their sons and daughters got a good piece. And especially Hunter Biden and the Biden crime cartel, all made huge fortunes money laundering. And a lot of those guns that we sent over to the Ukraine, well, They've caught them bringing those down on our border. That's right, on the black market. They were sold on the black market, and many of those arms have been captured back as the insurgents were sneaking them into our country. They plan to have a very riotous, very hot summer today, this year, folks. The Democrats know they're in big trouble. They know they cannot win a legitimate election. They say they can't, no way. And so we may see them start a civil war just to avoid Trump getting into office and going after the deep state, the very, very, very corrupt deep state. Now, here, America is being, again, like we say, invaded. And here, the invasion, it's being orchestrated. It's being orchestrated through the White House and the Democratic Communist Party Congress. They're orchestrating the invasion. They're funneling big tons of money down at the Darien Gap. Biden, instead of taking them up to the border, now they're flying them. They're putting them in airplanes and they're flying them. These are people, many of them are terrorists. You've got, again, he's brought in, again, America's under God's judgment. They brought in over, we know, 50,000 Chinese national troops on our soil. Folks, waiting. The Pentagon is busy transgendering our military into men who think that they're women, and women who want to be men. Have you seen some of these creatures out there? Unbelievable. You've got, they're in the space program. You've got a biological male. Now, well, most all of the other women wear pantsuits or, you know, military uniforms. These guys are wearing, because in the women also in the military have skirts. And these guys are wearing skirts. That's right. And then you got one who's like a drag queen. And he's the fellow, oh boy, in charge of disposing of nuclear waste. And this guy, he runs through airports in his underwear and snatches women's purses. This is what we have in the Biden regime. Now, parents are abusing their children by taking them to drag queen shows. They allow these poor little, their little minds and little bodies to be molested by these twisted, vile people, these drag queens. How could a parent do that to his child? They have perverted the very divine institution of marriage and family. Feminism is calling the young women to the fires of hell. The Jezebel spirit is more prevalent than ever in government, judicial, media, education, and even in the pulpit. Now you have more women graduating from college than men. And they all want to be lawyers, folks. So many of them, they want to arrest men. I mean, you got a mindset. It's not good. Now, the good news is a lot of your young men, what is what they call trending, a lot of the younger men now are trending towards conservatism. They're turning toward the right. They're becoming more conservative. But on the other side, the young women, and this has to do with exactly what God's Word, the Bible, teaches on discernment. The weaker vessels, not just physically, but when it comes to discernment, also they're the weaker vessel. And this is why you have these things now. 81% of all the marriages now, our divorces are instigated by the women. Everything, these are all signs of these last days. In all of this, we have been more than adequately forewarned. For those of us that study the Word of God, it's actual in some ways a comfort to see things falling into place. It kind of strengthens our faith. We see the Word of God coming down exactly the way He said it would be. Right? In summary, Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, America has the remedy for her sin, but won't you ever be smart enough to use it? And I want to finish very quickly tonight over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord has appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, folks, two groups, Christians and Israel, called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears intent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Well, there you go, folks. There's the remedy. The only remedy, the only way to stave off. Well, we can't actually stave off God's judgment is here, but to keep it from getting worse, the only way we can get revival, the only way we can take America back for one nation under God the way He gave it to us, is there's got to be real repentance. And remember this, the Lord Jesus preached more on sins of omission. So many people out there, how many of you listening to me tonight, very rarely or maybe have never even handed out a gospel tract? Folks, there's got to be repentance. We've got to go and exercise the three different missions that God gave us. Because there's no stuttering. It's very, very clear. We either, as a people, repent. We either repent or America will surely perish. And we're seeing that. We're seeing America coming apart at the seams every day. It doesn't have to be that way. Now is the time. Well, and now is the time that we come to every night when we say good night, when we say God bless, and then we say always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.